Let's go!
Nighttime is the right time to talk all things Atlanta sports on Chris Thomas Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hour number two of the program here, Chris Thomas Turtle, live in the Kia Studios. As always, you never know what's going to capture the attention of y'all out there listening, and this line item clearly has. Happy to do it with you. I got full phone lines an hour in, so let's keep talking about it. This Spurs broadcaster who made a really dumb decision to cheat on his girlfriend of 6 years with the sister of a player on the team that he broadcasts for. Again, cheated on his girlfriend of 6 years with the sister of a player on the team he broadcast for. Okay? And got fired. And the question is, do we need to play morality police? Or is this just a simple cut and dry, he did something stupid to make the organization look bad and deserve to lose his job? I am firmly in the camp of option B, because he was an idiot. Again, you need to think of the potential repercussions of your actions before you act. And listen, men that are out there listening, y'all know what I'm about to say is true. Dom, it's powerful. It's powerful, but you have to resist temptation. If you have a job that could get you fired for doing it, literally and figuratively, okay? Pun intended there. You can't do it if you're this guy. You can't do it. When you agree to become the broadcaster of the team, you forfeit the ability to do stuff like that. You just do. And you can disagree with that, but you're wrong. Because it's just the way it is. Like, there is no room for interpretation there. But I know a lot of you feel differently. I heard John's show. But again, I think the conversation took a turn into a place that doesn't really apply to this situation. It became a conversation about, is it okay to cheat? Is it okay to step out? If you're not married, is it really an affair? And that's not what this is about. This is about a guy who has a very specific job doing a very specific thing and is a public figure. And as a public figure, if you do what he did, you're going to get fired, period. But let's see what you think. Chris is in Griffin. Chris.
Yo, hey, so I just did a quick Google search, right? How many women are on the face of the earth, right?
Right.
4 billion women.
Yeah. Yep.
And out of all them women, you mean to tell me you gonna go after the lady who is the sister of the person you work for? That tells me that you have bad judgment and you don't know how to draw lines, bro. That's like, you don't know how to create boundaries. It has nothing to do with morality. It has nothing to do with any of that. You have bad judgment when it comes to setting boundaries. So what happens when you decide to go back to your girl After you had this little fling with the teammate's sister, and she gets mad about it, and then now the teammate get mad about it because she must mean something to the teammate as far as him having his sister around. So now he's mad about it, and he demands a trade. Because
right.
The sports announcer guy on the team decided to have an affair and go back to his girlfriend. Forget about him, whatever, cheating, this and the third. It is the fact that he did it with somebody for who he works with. He had an affair with the Spurs, with somebody on the Spurs, and that's what it is. Had he just cheated with anybody from some girl from Timbuktu, it wouldn't even make the news. We want to kick.
Chris,
right?
You're
that's
right.
That's what it is.
You're right, and I appreciate the call. You're right, and I said both of those things in the first hour. Like, you know, seriously, it's a joke, but not really. Go on a dating app, dude. If you're sick of your girl and you want another, you want to move on after 6 years, that's fine. But there's only like a few people on the entire planet, to the caller's point, that you can't mess around with. And he did it with one of those people. You're stupid, bruh. Like, there's no other way around it. You didn't care about the potential repercussions of doing what you did. Clearly. And that's just the bottom line. If you're going to sit there and put yourself in a position to be compromised, and then you get compromised, you only have yourself to blame, Chief. I mean, really, that's what it is. His girl of 6 years hacked his Instagram and put up all these posts. Good. You got exposed, boss. Because you were too stupid to follow the rules. That got you a broadcasting job that paid probably well into the six figures, and you got to highlight San Antonio games every night for a living. And you decided to pee that all away because you were infatuated with one of your players' sisters. I mean, can you be any stupider? Really, that's what it is. Andre's in Atlanta. Andre.
Hey, yes. Here's where I disagree with you guys. I think that the sister is different from a spouse or girlfriend of a player that work on a team. Now, I don't hear anybody saying that there was a policy out from San Antonio saying that you can't have a relationship with one of the organization person, family members. But this is where I agree with you on. This could have been the girl next door or Timbuktu or what have you. At the point where your messy relationship comes public and it makes my organization look bad, that's when I think that's a foul offense. I don't care whether it was the sister or the girl next door. So the fact that whatever you are doing caused the organization to look bad, I think that's the point where he loses his job.
No, I appreciate it. But honestly, I agree with the second part. But Dom, I disagree with that first part. I don't care if there's a specific clause that says you can't do it or not do it. It's called common sense.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, how about we call it the common damn sense clause?
Yeah, there's the common sense clause.
Yeah,
there's
don't sleep with the sister of a player on the team that you broadcast for.
Don't do anything stupid.
Simple? Yeah, I think that's pretty easy. That's a pretty easy thing to not have to be put on a piece of paper and handed to you that you read over and sign, right? I think that's pretty explicitly, you know, known. That if you do something like that, one, you're an idiot, two, whatever happens, you deserve. I don't need that spelled out to me in legalese. Sorry. I just don't. That's where I disagree with the last caller. The second part, yes, absolutely. But in terms of what that means, you know, before the act is done, Dom, I'm not going to HR to check. Hey, Susan in HR? Yeah, hi. This is Joe, the play-by-play guy for the team. Is it okay if I sleep with one of our backup forwards' sisters? Yeah, I was just wondering, does that violate team policy? Think about how stupid that sounds, right? Again, the common damn sense clause. That's what we're calling it. I don't need it to be spelled out in HR paperwork or team policy or any of that garbage. It's common sense. Don't sleep with the sister of a teammate that you broadcast for. I mean, really? We need that spelled out for us, folks. Really? Really? Come on now. Matt G is in Dallas. Matt.
I find this subject so hypocritical. We're coming down hard on a play-by-play announcer for a basketball team for cheating on his girlfriend when we got a President of the United States.
Oh, no. Gotta let you. No, Matt. No. Go down the dial if you want to talk about that. Not here. I see what you did, Matt. Anytime you want to call in and talk about sports or talk about the topic of the day, please call back. This is not about everybody who is going to call in today between now and 6 o'clock, this is not about anything else other than the issue of what we're talking about. Okay? This is, again, there are certain, I thought we all were on the same page. I guess not. We get new listeners all the time. We don't do politics. We don't do race. We don't do religion. We don't do ethics. We don't do that on this show. This topic is an interesting one because it blends life and sports together, which happens sometimes. And it's interesting when those two things intersect. But we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We're not bringing in our views on anything else other than this particular topic. I'm gonna cut you off right there like I did with Matt. I can't. because the second you do that, half of my audience turns off the radio. And I'm sorry. I love each one of you individually, but I love the collective you more. Sorry. That's just the honest truth. Zeke is on the south side. Zeke.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle?
Yo.
Hey, man. I'm listening, and I'm like at a 50-50, man, on the situation, because I feel like why isn't it the same energy towards the Patriots coach? And he was actually married, and more stuff has came out. He still has his job, you know, and he's still working through whatever. But like two callers ago said, this is a play-by-play caller for the San Antonios. I don't know this man. Never knew nothing about him until now. I don't like to bring up every situation, but just look, I'm a diehard Falcons fan, and I hope everything works out for James Pierce. Let's just look at that situation and see, hey, every relationship is not healthy. So within those 6 years or however long the Spurs announcer was dating this young lady, we don't know if they had a healthy relationship or an unhealthy relationship. We don't know the ups and the downs.
No,
we don't
but Zeke, hang on though. But that's fine, and I agree with you on that, but that's not the point. The point is that when he agreed to become, and you may not know who he is, I don't know who he is, but you know who does? The hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Spurs fans. And that's the point. He broadcasts to a humongous audience every single night that the Spurs play basketball. And he now made a huge mistake in stepping out of his relationship to sleep with a player's sister that's on the team. You can't undo that. And what I mean by you can't undo that is the optics of it. Because you know the deal, Zeke. Every time somebody looks at that man broadcasting a Spurs game from now on, all you and your buddies are going to do are crack jokes about him sleeping with the sister of a player. And that's what the Spurs
Not necessarily. That's not necessarily true. I think the way we turn in this story, it makes it bad. Hey, what if the player of the sister comes out and say, oh, man, I love that guy. Oh, man, I don't have no problem with him dating my sister. Hey, let's keep it in the family. The Spurs organization could have turned it into a family thing. Hey,
but they could have. But you know what happened? Not only did that not happen, but his ex-girlfriend hacked his Instagram and put him on blast online for millions of people to see.
And like you said, though, that's dumb on his part. And I agree with you to a certain extent. But if it's not in my contract where you're telling me when I sign this contract that, hey, now, wives, mothers, everything like that, that's off limits. Who is not to say that him and his sister actually has a connection?
But it doesn't matter if they have. And I appreciate the call. It doesn't matter if they have a connection or not. That's the point. They could be madly in love. They could get married after this. That's not the point. The point is when he did what he did, he put the team in jeopardy. That's the point. It's not about their specific relationship. They could have the best relationship of all time and get married and have a dozen kids together and live happily ever after. That's not the point. The point is that at the moment when he walked through that door and she was waiting for him on the other side and he closed it behind him and locked himself in the room and they did whatever they did, he made the organization look bad because he had a girlfriend on the other side of that door that was going to go volatile and put his information online for everybody to see. And if your girlfriend does that to you, after you cheat on her, especially with somebody inside the organization that you work for, you're going to lose your job, period. Again, if he was a production assistant, if he was the social media guy, if he was a videographer, it would be a different story. But it's because he's the play-by-play guy that, makes all the difference. It's because he's the guy that's in front of the camera. And that's what I need everybody to remember and understand.
To the point of, oh, well, what if they had a really good relationship or anything? That, again, doesn't matter. So do you remember the Good Morning America host, TJ Holmes and Amy Robach, and how they both, again, were fired they got engaged after all of that stuff, and they're happily engaged in all that 3 years post. That's great. They were both still fired for the fact that they were having an affair outside of their marriages and that they were both working together. Like, again, being a public figure has consequences when you do these sort of actions.
Right. It doesn't matter if it, like, it doesn't matter if your current girlfriend of 6 years was the devil, and if the yeah, the current, like, new woman was an angel.
If that's the
point, doesn't matter.
If that's the case, get a divorce and then move on. Then you do that. Don't have an affair, or if you're going to do it, don't get caught and let it get exposed and all that other stuff.
Right. That's the whole point. Walden is in Atlanta. Walden.
Yes, I disagree with you. The reason I disagree with you is because the girlfriend of the player was not an employee. If it's not a part of the code of conduct, or if it's not illegal, he should not be fired.
But it's an optics thing. That's the whole point. It's not a moral thing. It's an optics thing. If you're the broadcaster of the team and you do what you did, you're going to get fired. Like, period. That's the end of the discussion. Like, there is no wiggle room there. How can you say that there is?
But that you're bordering on is, like, morals. If it's not
It has nothing to do with morals. It's about optics. When you conduct yourself in life as the play-by-play announcer for the San Antonio Spurs, everything you do is done as the Spurs TV announcer. Every time you go out to dinner.
The optics of having a relationship outside of marriage, isn't that something that's optics as well?
Yeah, he cheated on he wasn't married, though. But that doesn't even matter.
He wasn't married, so
but it doesn't matter.
Having a relationship outside of marriage, isn't that
it's about how it,
well?
But again, you're not understanding the point of it's about how it makes the team look. It's not about him. It's about he represents the San Antonio Spurs. And if he goes on TV for the first game next season, you know what's going to happen. Everybody that's watching the game is going to point and laugh and say, ha ha, he's the idiot that stepped out on his girlfriend, got blown up on Instagram, and cheated on him with a player's sister. The team can't have that.
I agree with you that, you know, it was stupid. I wouldn't have done it, but should he have been fired? In my opinion, no.
But how can you let him go back out there as your TV voice and represent your organization after he did that? That's my point.
I'm not getting political when I say this next thing, Turtle, but we had a president that did something stupid, and he still was allowed to be president.
Okay,
but
the president, and I appreciate the call, the office of the president and an employee of a sports team are not equal. Stop. Stop making that comparison. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. The office of the president of the United States does not equal a play-by-play voice of a TV announcer of a basketball team.
And also, just to be the very blunt and honest answer, it's a lot easier to replace an announcer than it is to replace a president or a head coach. So, yeah, we can easily fire him and find someone else to do this job, as opposed to firing a head coach in the midst of all of this.
It's not even worth going down the rabbit hole. Because it's that dumb. If you think those two things should be equated, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. If you think the office of the president of the United States and the TV play-by-play announcer for a sports team are in any way equal, I got a plot of land to sell you off a short bridge. I mean, I don't know what to say, guys. Some of y'all are really going out on a limb to defend this man who's just stupid. He's stupid. Sorry, I don't like the name call, but that's stupid. To do what he did is blatantly dumb. It just is. All right, we'll take more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. Also, D-Led is going to stop by talking all things Dirty Birds right here on 92.9 The Game.
Chris Thomas.
And this is Chris Thomas Tonight.
They said he could have gone pro.
I'm talking local.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we'll take more calls on the morality police situation coming up in just a little bit. Appreciate everybody who checked in. Really interesting discussion going on about if the Spurs broadcaster should have been fired for cheating on his girlfriend and then sleeping with the sister of a team, or not a teammate, of a player on the Spurs. It's a very interesting and unique situation. We'll get back into that. But right now, we got to head out to the hotline. Chris Thomas tonight till 6 o'clock. Talk some Falcons with our good buddy D-Led, D. Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check out Bow Tie Sports. D, let's start here with this offense. Do you expect it to be one of the highest usage rates in the league in terms of the run game? It really seems like the more we learn about Stefanski, it's going to be a heavy dose of the two B. Robinsons back there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, just look at, you know, when he had Nick Chubb in Cleveland. But I look more to Minnesota when he had Delvin Cook. You know, he was able to spread him out, move him around a little bit more. I don't think – I was just watching the John Riggins highlights when he used to run it 35 times a game back in the day. I don't think you're going to see that, but definitely it's going to be a heavy run for sure.
You think Austin Hooper is going to get a big workload, or do you think the overwhelming share is going to go to Pitts?
Yeah, I think the overwhelming share will go to Pitts. I don't think Hooper's a 40-play a game guy anymore, you know, maybe 10, 15. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him and Charlie Warner with the new regime coming in and so forth. But, no, I don't see him playing, you know, 40, 50, 60 snaps a game.
You think Warner still has a valuable role on this team? It seems like he could with how much Stefanski likes to run the ball.
He can block, and you got to be able to block him. So, I think he's still got to have a role on the team. Just because of that, you know, and the tackles, you know, you can always put him next to the tackle and they can double team people over there if that's an issue with Juwan Taylor on that side.
How much do you expect, because there's a couple of guys in OZ and the new kid, Zachariah Branch, that especially if Tua gets the start to the season, I think, D, we can expect a lot of work over the middle of the field. Do you feel like that'll be a focus of the offense as well?
Yeah, I'm thinking quick passing game, you know, but, you know, they're going to be able to spread it. They'll be able to go you know, kind of go in a rectangular shape passing game. I don't think it's going to – you won't be able to hit all quadrants, at least show you can get to them. But, yeah, you definitely got to open up the middle of the field, and you got people to do that.
Okay, so when you look at the state of the offensive line, Bergeron's the next guy that's going to need to – get a new contract. Do you feel like he's earned that?
Yeah, I think he's been a steady pro. I think, you know, coming out of college, switching from left tackle to guard, he hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet, but he hasn't been ran over. We don't see him on the ground. And he had one of the best fights ever last year at training camp. So I'm keeping him. He's a football player.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys out there that you don't want to mess with. But the guy that he plays next to in Neusel, I think this is going to be a big year for him. There's this kid, I think his name is Brockermeyer. Do you think he could get some run in training camp?
Yeah, Brockermeyer was highly regarded in college, in the college ranks. But, yeah, you certainly got to have, you know, backups there too. But, you know, Ryan has called everything. You know, you got to, you know, have some guys that make the team that are, you know, former undrafted and salary cap guys. And if he's functioning, which, you know, by all accounts he did, you know, he's better. You know, I think he's got to improve in the run game. And his pass protection was sustained, you know, it was decent. But, yeah, he can get better. In second year as a full-time starter, you expect him to get better.
How did you rate Jake's performance last year? Do you have any concern with him coming into this year? You think he's going to be steady as always?
No, that was one of the best performances in the last 5 years by Jake. Not necessarily on the field, but that because he was able to play. He was playing with a high ankle sprain. He played. He's so tough. It's amazing that he was able to answer the bell and play at the level that he played. It wasn't all pro. They would have named him that. But it was one of the guttiest and grittiest showings by a pro in these parts in a long time.
Yeah, that's good to hear, as he has been the stalwart of the team and honestly of the entire NFL, you can argue. All right, D, let's look at the defensive side of the ball. How many defensive tackles do you think they're going to rotate through? It seems like because they didn't get the true big, you know, Vita Vea, Derrick Brown type, that they're going to be pushing and pulling a lot of levers in that defensive front.
Yeah, I think you want to go four. You want to go two series, one, and then rotate them out. Two series, and then, you know, LaCal London and whoever else is with him, you know, he was highly productive. I don't know who the top two. Well, I guess you go Dorlett and Deshaun Mahan would be your top two, and then you can come with Mason and LaCal London, you know, or if they get beat out. But, yeah, I would go a two-series rotation with, you know, and then the one, and then a fourth quarter of the game online, you can just go with your best people.
Tell us about Christian Harris. He's a guy that has been seen a lot early on, getting that other linebacker spot next to Divine Diablo. It seems like he's almost like a Diablo in the sense that there's a lot of upside there, and if Ulbrich gets his hands on him, he can make him a pretty good player.
Yeah, sure, tackler, our guy, you know, Aaron Wilson out of Houston, who followed the Texans, has great things to say about him. Steady pro. Definitely can help you in the run game and do some other different things for you. I just don't think they're going to make the mistake of asking him to do all things that Caden Ellis did. Caden did so much more in the pass game last year in the rush game and that scheme. But Harris is he's a thumper. He's a borderline old school thumper who can come up and hit people. And hey, you always like that on defense when you're not giving up ground and stopping people in their tracks.
How much chance do you think a couple of the rookies and Perkins and Daniels have to make an impact there?
I don't think they make an impact on the unit. I think, you know, you look for them first to show up on special teams, okay? And then if they're doing that, as the season goes on, you find something for Perkins to do, you find something for Daniels to do. But I don't think they, you know, given where they were drafted at, you're not really expecting them to come out and start right away. But on special teams, you expect them to show their speed. Daniel's speed was an issue, but definitely Perkins' speed was not an issue. So, but you want to see them come and help the units, and, you know, those units need the improvement. And so if they can help, that would be a great start for the rookies. And then, you know, ease them into the fray.
Talking all things Falcons with our good buddy D-Led. Make sure you check out Bowtie Sports for all of his comprehensive coverage. I'm not too worried about the secondary. I know it's something that a lot of us are highlighting as possibly the best overall unit on the team. But who do you have right now as the starter at corner two and at nickel?
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with Hughes until he gets beat. He might get beat by Darnay. And then I'm thinking they're gonna try to get Avion ready at nickel. You know, you got some options there. Ballman, you know, he's coming back from the Achilles. I think you got some options there if he can make it all the way back. But yeah, that's how I think it's going to go. You know, of course, AJ and the safeties are already set.
So when you look at Zachariah Branch, do you think he's going to be the return guy?
Yeah, they definitely got to look at him. No doubt about it. He's a great open field runner. So he could be your return guy for sure. He's definitely going to get a look here in the exhibition season.
Yeah, I think I don't know how much he's going to get run on the offense. I guess it just depends on how fast he can pick up the playbook. And speaking of which, the most curious offseason signing to me was giving the 2-year deal to Dotson. What do you think they saw in him to give him that deal?
Yeah, that caught us all off guard. They paid him like a starter. But, you know, it was kind of like Mooney, too, a couple years back. It was like, okay, they see something. And he flashed it for a year, and it worked out. Now, with Dotson, we saw him a lot with the Eagles and the Commanders. And you could see occasional big play here and there. And now I'm sure that's what they saw. It's like, hey, we need to see more of that. So he's going to be open. He's not going to be open, but he's going to be in one-on-one coverage. He's going to have his opportunities to make plays because the other guys are going to be getting doubled. You know, they're going to have a lot of attention on London and Pitts and Bijan. So he might be finding himself on the third corner just streaming down the field. And at that point, you know, somebody's got to get him the ball. So I see where they
did in the evaluation of him, but, you know, he just hasn't been able to do that or be that productive over a long period of time when you put more on his plate. So we'll see. He's definitely got the ability to get down the field, and they need that. This offense needs that.
Before I let you go, I've been hearing a little bit of how Stefanski's offenses might take a couple of weeks to get going, especially if it relies heavy on the run game. But when you go up against Pittsburgh in week one, I mean, they still have Hayward, they still have Watts. So, D, I don't know if they're going to have time to be able to let this thing sort of burn and cook. They're going to have to get it kicking right away.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Well, at least that's, you know, he knows that personnel. And the Browns, if you look at it, they've been playing the Steelers pretty tough the last 2 years. That's the one game they might win. They got him last year with Shadur at quarterback. He got a ball out to Fannin early in the end zone, and the defense made it stand up. So the good thing is he knows the foe, and the other thing will just be communicating that to his new squad that, hey, we got to go, you know, punch these guys in the mouth. It's a big bully unit over there with TJ and Cam Hayward. And, he's been in a bunch of fights with them before. So they'll listen for that first game and, try to come out and press the gas pedal and get off to a good start.
D, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you hopping on. We'll be checking out Bowtie Sports, and we'll chat soon.
Great. Thanks for having me, Turtle. Have a great afternoon.
All right. That is the great legendary D-Led edition on all things Dirty Birds. Really interesting stuff there. All right. When we get back, Braves, they're brave, and they lose 2-1 last night. Let's welcome in the great Lindsey Crosby to help us figure out what's going on with our Bravos. We'll do that when we get back, and then we'll get to more of your calls in the second half of the show on this morality gate going on with this San Antonio Spurs broadcaster. Took a lot of good calls. We'll take more as the show rolls on. Chris Thomas tonight, 92.9 The Game. Braves about to start their final series before the All-Star break. We'll see what that brings. Hopefully more good news after they took care of business against Pittsburgh. To talk about all things Braves, we're going to head out to the hotline on Chris Thomas tonight. Welcome in our good buddy Lindsey Crosby, host of Braves Today. Lindsey, a ton to get into as the trade deadline approaches, as the All-Star break approaches, and as this Braves team stumbles and bumbles its way into both of those after what we know was such a strong start for this team. So what did you see? Let's start in the past before we go to the future. What did you see in the Pittsburgh series that they were able to get back on track and take 2 out of 3?
I think it came down to two different things. The first one was Atlanta was just able to string together consecutive hits. During that losing streak that they had, but they were awful in the month of June, a lot of their hits would be isolated. They'd have a hit, and then they'd strike out twice. And this was, they're able to string together 2 or 3, and then the power returned. And so they could not only get guys on, but they could get a home run and cash the ball in at once. Cashing in runners was a thing they were not doing in June. And then on the flip side, you were able to get enough out of your pitching. It still wasn't good enough, but it was better than the month of June. And for the most part, outside of a couple blow-ups like Hurston Waldrop had on Monday, you were in the game enough for a slightly better version of your offense to have a chance to win it late. And that's really, it's all just kind of incremental progress, but a couple things got better. They all of a sudden started winning some series again.
By the time the Braves get back from the All-Star break, do you think Waldrop will have been able to figure out what he needs to down in the minors, or do you expect him to be there for a little bit?
It probably depends on how they feel about J.R. Richey on Sunday and how long Martin Perez will be out, but it's really hard to see how Waldrop could go down, make one start, and fix the issues that he's had. Because the main thing for Hurston Waldrop, he's a lot like Ian Anderson was, right? He's got to get ahead of batters so that he can break out that off speed. In his case, it's a splitter. In Ian Anderson's case, it was a changeup. Have to break that out. And he just was having trouble getting in the zone consistently up front. Maybe it's a minor mechanical issue, and they'll fix it when he's in Gwinnett for a week or so, week and a half. But it kind of feels like this is a kid that had elbow surgery, and maybe he's just trying to work his way back from it. Something we have to remember is just because you can get back on the field doesn't mean you're physically back at 100%. And it feels like this is more than just one minor mechanical tweak away from throwing 65% strikes again.
Once we get back from the All-Star break, the draft is in the rearview mirror. How soon do you expect things to pick up, not just for the Braves, but for all of MLB in terms of trades?
I think it's really going to depend on how teams do in the next one, this series before the break, and then coming out. But I really don't feel like many deals are going to happen until just a few days before the deadline, if not the deadline itself. If you go and you look at each of the two leagues, there are so many teams that are one hot streak away from being in a wild card spot. The Boston Red Sox were left for dead. They're now 2.5 games out because they've won like 13 or 15 games. Or, you know, they're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're all of a sudden right here on the door. So everybody thinks wait till after the All-Star break to get trades. I think it's going to be August 1st, August 2nd, August 3rd before you see these deals really start happening, because teams want to hope that they're contenders and they're not going to give up to the very last second.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, Lindsay, with that said, how do the Braves manage their rotation until then?
That's a really good question. It feels like right now you feel a little bit better about Ronaldo Lopez than what he was giving you before he went to the bullpen. You feel a little bit better about Grant Holmes based on what he did the last time out, not walking a ton of guys, not getting obliterated the second time through. But you got to do it with the guys you have. And can you get Elder fixed? Can you get J.R. Richie to be stable? When does Martin Perez come back? You've got that. A.J. Smith-Shawver has a AAA start on Saturday. Waldrop's going down. They're just going to have to piece it together for at least, I think, probably, this is July 10th, close to a month. And I think if you get anybody at the deadline, it's going to be at the deadline. You just got to make it work.
Talking all things Braves with our good buddy Lindsey Crosby. Make sure you check out Braves Today on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Before we continue to dissect everything that needs fixing, it is worth highlighting, you know, all the guys that are going to the All-Star festivities in Philly, particularly Matt Olson, who's led the way. Do you think Michael Harris is going to get a bid with the news about Shohei Ohtani?
Well, if Ohtani was put in as a DH, it feels like they're going to go with a DH. There's been some rumors they're going to grab somebody from St. Louis for this. You're going to have to lose an outfielder for Michael Harris to get to go. So maybe Juan Soto decides he needs a little bit of rest or something. But I would argue it's either him or J.J. Weatherholt of the Cardinals. Those are the two biggest snubs in the National League. And you're just going to have an outfielder go down before you can get Michael there. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, he's going to get there. But we're running out of time to make that happen.
How good is it to see a guy like Iggy, who's had success here in Atlanta, but, you know, has had his tumultuous side as well, where it's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but he's been flat-out dominant so far this year. How good is it to see him get the nod?
You could argue that he's been one of the more underrated closers in all of baseball for probably, you know, a good 6, 7, 8 years now. He's consistently had an ERA under 3 every single season since 2019. He's led the league in games finished multiple times. He's put up 30-something save seasons, and he's never gotten a chance to go. I love this for him personally, just so he understands and he can see how the rest of Atlanta feels that he is one of the best closers in baseball. And he was voted by the players. Like, he got in on a player ballot. And so that's the recognition from his peers. Like, dude, we hate facing you. We know you're filthy. Enjoy this first career All-Star nod. And also, it kind of helps make the case to Atlanta that maybe you bring him back for one more year. He seems to still have it.
Yeah, I mean, with the way he and Suarez and Lee have set up this 1-2-3 punch for the Braves, it'd be hard to argue that. All right, what's going on with Drake Baldwin? Been up and down since he's come back from the injury. What have you seen from him of late? Do you expect him to, with the All-Star break here, even though he's going to participate, it's obviously not the same sort of stress and strenuation that it takes on a night-to-night basis playing baseball. Do you expect him to get back to that guy that he was in the first half of the first half?
I absolutely do. If you look at the first, say, week and a half or so that he was back, he struck out 18 times in, like, the first week. He had a four strikeout game, multiple 3 strikeout games. Since then, he's only had two games where he struck out 2 or more times. And so, like, a lot of the timing issues are down. And now it's just him getting comfortable with seeing all the different types of pitches. He had to fix the fastball stuff first. He's fixed the fastball timing. And now it's just, can you get more comfortable facing spin, picking it up out of the hand, getting that timing back on breaking balls? I think he'll be there. I think seeing what he did in Pittsburgh, you know, he had to get three hits in the series, couple driven in, makes you feel like, okay, he's that close to being the Drake Baldwin that we had early in the year. And I'm confident that maybe some time around all these stars, the All-Star game, and them telling him how good he is will give him that last little bit of boost that he needs.
What type of market are you expecting at shortstop, and how active are the Braves going to be?
I honestly can't really see the Braves going out and getting a guy. If you look at the options, C.J. Abrams is one of the names that comes out. He's in the division. The Nationals haven't really made big deals inside the division. There are some rumors about Corey Seager, how much money he has attached to him. It's not really a profile that Atlanta fits. I think having Mauricio Dubon gives you the flexibility of saying, hey, we can just stick Dubon at shortstop and we can grab a corner outfielder. It's a lot easier to find those. Or maybe it's something where if you do find a shortstop, great. You can put Dubon at third. But I think having Dubon and Jimmy Baseball, don't forget about Jim Jarvis. We love Jim Jarvis. I think with those two guys, and really with Dubon, they're going to focus on a corner outfielder. They're a lot more plentiful. They're a lot cheaper. And then you can reassess shortstop in the offseason, whether it's re-signing Dubon, whether it's a prospect, Jarvis, whoever it might be.
I know, as you said, we love Jarvis. We love what he's doing. You know, the plucky underdog, undersized guy who's coming up and showing that, you know, he can play both offensively and defensively. It almost feels like, though, Lindsay, we saw this song and dance before with guys like Nick Allen.
It just doesn't feel like enough. Cooler version of Nick Allen. That's
right.
All he is.
Right.
And it's the rest of the offenses. It's just like we talked about with Nick Allen. If the rest of the offense is hitting, you're fine with him sitting in the nine hole. The good news is in the month of July, they somewhat have been hitting. They've almost scored as many runs as they did in all of the month of June. So right now it's not hurting you. The goal would be leave Ha-Seong Kim on rehab for almost 30 days. See if he can figure it out. If he can figure it out, he can give you, you know, 85 WRC plus offense from shortstop, and you're fine. The Jim Jarvis stuff's going to run out eventually. But right now, the offense is hitting. It's not hurting you while you try to figure out, is there any other option? Can we fix Kim? Is there a trade? Do we put Dubon there? Something.
What do you tell Riley to do if you're Walt Weiss over the All-Star break? You double down and nose to the grindstone, or you just disconnect completely?
Dude, I don't want you to think about baseball for a week. I don't – you know what? I would be fine. It would be controversial. I would be fine if they didn't even ask him to be back by Friday. Just give him like a full week off. Let him skip that first series. Say, hey, be back here on Monday for the Padres series. Take a full week. We don't want you to think about baseball. We want you to, go hunting, go fishing, spend time with your family, do whatever you're doing in Mississippi. We don't want to see you for a week. Give him a complete mental reset, because every time he talks to the media – he sounds defeated. He sounds beat up. He knows how bad he's playing. He's in his own head, and it's all mental at this point. Give him a break. Give him the longest break you can manage to give him, and then let's try again for the final 60 games of the season.
Percent chance you think we see Strider again this season?
15. I think at this point, having not even gotten updates yet on how he's doing, and the idea of he's got to make sure he's healthy, one, he's got to get back into pitching shape, I think it's slim to none. You can't count on seeing him. I'll go one farther. You can't count on seeing Spencer Schwellenbach either. It'd be great if you did for either guy. You can't count on it. You have to operate at the trade deadline as if those guys won't be here in September and October.
Now, double down, do you think the Braves should count on Strider as a part of their future plan still? I know the contract, but just being realistic.
I think that he can be penciled in as one of your back of rotation options. I don't think you can count on him to be an impact starter. And I think Alex has shown what he cares about are, can we add impact starters to this rotation? Because he pretty much won't add a guy unless it's an impact starter. I don't think you can count on Strider to be an impact guy anymore. If you get it, great. You can't bank on it, though. You have to assume as if you're never getting that version of Strider back.
For as much praise as we heaped on Walt Weiss, and deservedly so, with the way that this season started, do you think he deserves any criticism? I mean, it's I know it's it's, you know, you can only run out the guys that you have available to you, but do you feel like he's doing enough to maximize what's left?
He's made some strategic missteps. I do think you're onto something when you say you can only run out the guys you have. He's been dealt a really poor hand with carrying Bryce Elder for a whole weekend, but he wasn't available, so you had one less reliever in the pen. Like, he's been dealt some bad hands on personnel. He's also pulled back from that very aggressive mindset that he had early in the year about pulling a starter and going for a win. And maybe somebody in the front office said something. Maybe he saw the injured list stints for Iggy and Kenley and Suarez and said I have to back off a little bit. So he's lost a little bit of the aggressive edge that we gave him credit for, and he's made a couple missteps on when to use guys, but he's also working with the roster he has, and that's been the real issue, is the way we've handled the starters and moving guys back and forth from the rotation to the pen and calling up prospects, but for relief. That's where we've really gone wrong. So I can't blame him too much because he's working with what he has. You can only put so much lipstick on a pig.
Correct. Before or after August 1st for Acuna?
Before. They were saying he's going to go on a rehab stint sometime, you know, soon after the All-Star break. Every single time they put Ronald on rehab, they've said it's going to go slow, they're going to take their time, and then they speed it up. He's already been out longer than the first injury, despite this not being as severe as the first injury. We'll get him back before August 1st. I don't know if we'll get him back by the week after the All-Star break, but he's going to beat August 1st. And then the question is going to be, what does the team look like in whatever span of time that is between then and the All-Star break? Because in 21, they got Jock Peterson early, and the energy that he gave, the enthusiasm and production that he delivered is what pushed Alex Anthopoulos to go even harder at the trade deadline. If Ronald comes back a week before and they rip off a winning streak of 6 out of 7 games, this may be like, okay, Ronald back, we're a legit contender, and we need to push some more chips in towards this season.
Do you sit down with him if you're Walt Weiss and company and try to get him to agree to DHing once or twice a week?
He said he's okay doing it. Part of the issue that we haven't been able to do it a lot was other injuries at other positions. I do think when he comes back, that's got to be a priority. You've got to say, hey, you're 2 days a week, you're not going to be in right field. And we're going to hope that we can get enough performance out of Mike Yastrzemski or Eli White or whatever trade deadline guy so that we can do this and not have a worse version of the roster. But you have to do it. They did it a little bit in season, but they just weren't able to keep it going because of injuries. They've got to do it when he comes back.
Lindsey, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the games for the before the All-Star break, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks for having me.
You check out Braves today. We have not talked any basketball, and there is a lot of basketball to talk about. So we'll do that when we get back to kick off the second half of the show. More of your phone calls. Appreciate everybody who's called in about this announcer affair, quote-unquote, morality, drama. We'll definitely get back into that as well. Really interesting stuff. But we'll talk some NBA and Hawks with our buddy Terrell Thomas. These have been times to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. We got a producer six-pack coming up, as well as some Marvel movie talk, because I got a take for Dom, and I'm not sure how he's going to feel about it. I stumbled onto this late in the show last week, and I was like, I'm glad I got Dom with me on Saturday, because he's my really Marvel compadre. We'll break it down like a fine powder. So a busy 4 o'clock hour coming your way next on 92.9 The Game.